Thank you for tuning in to the Head Game Podcast, powered by Mindful Athlete Training, where you grab an inside look into the heads and minds of the high performer. Learn what they do and how they think to help you take control of your own head game. Oliver Parsons began his Air Force career in 2013 as a nuclear operations officer, followed by a few years as a force support officer. In 2019, he founded Air Force Gaming, the premier gaming and esports organization that fosters resiliency and provides agile programming across esports and entertainment, global community development, branding and marketing, and digital technology for the Department of the Air Force. In 2021, he co-founded Space Force Gaming, the exclusive gaming and esports organization for the U.S. Space Force. Between both Air Force Gaming and Space Force Gaming, he established sustainable programming, funding through 2029, and successfully exited in 2022. He is a self-taught operator and entrepreneur that enjoys building high-performance teams to achieve breakout success. Currently, he is a marketing fellow with the Call of Duty Endowment at Activision Blizzard King, and in 2023, he will continue his military career as an acquisitions officer with Space System Command's Reserve Strike Team. In his spare time, he leads marketing efforts for United XP and lead gaming, branding, and innovation for the Space Force Association. It is with these nonprofits he consults on gaming, esports, and metaverse with international militaries, governments, communities, and companies. Please welcome Oliver Parsons to the Head Game. So when we think about gaming and we think about the military, Oliver, Air Force Gaming, where was it born? How did you breathe life into it?
Great question. Well, first I want to say thanks for having me on this morning. I've been very excited to finally join you guys. Yeah, so Air Force Gaming, where it, you know, all kind of began was I grew up gaming. I enjoyed playing, you know, the good old Super Smash Bros. On N64, you know, 007, GoldenEye, and all of those type of games. But obviously, you know, as life got busier and, you know, going to college and all of that, didn't play as much games as I'd liked. But when I was a freshman in college, I played a whole lot of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. And what's exciting is the refresh kind of it is coming out here in the next couple of weeks. And what's funny is me and my roommate, we would actually, we were trying to like prestige our character. And we were supposed to go out on like a double date with some girls. And we're like, hey, we're so close to getting to like prestige 3. We just need like 15 more minutes. And after like 25 minutes, they're like, yes, see you guys.
That's like me telling someone that there's only 2 minutes left in a football game.
Right. Exactly.
And that turns into about 30. Anyone, you know, who really likes to watch. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially those 2 minute timers. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But yeah, so grew up gaming, you know, I have that foundation, and my wife and I, we got stationed in Minot, North Dakota, which is about 30 minutes from Canada. It's typically the coldest place on Earth at least once a year. So you can kind of understand or, you know, see the isolation that can come with that, where really 9 months out of the year, there's at least some form of cold temperatures or snow. So we ended up really, you know, dealing with mental health struggles like depression, anxiety, seasonal affective disorder with the sun only being out like 4 hours. And that really, you know, messed with our mental health. So we actually turned to video games as a way of escape. And we quickly realized that was hurting our relationships with one another as well as friends, because we would play like solo games and not interact with other people. Or, you know, she'd be sitting on the couch playing one game and I'm on the other side of the couch playing a different game. And that, you know, that hurt our relationship. That actually made our mental health worse. So it wasn't until a game like Destiny 2 that had come out, I ran into some friends at work that ended up played that game also. And we would stay up till like 2-3 o'clock in the morning playing that. And I developed a sense of like, hey, you know, I can have a community. I don't have to be in person. You know, I don't have to struggle through the snow or, you know, warm up my car for an hour just to go drive 10 minutes to go to somebody's house. And same thing for my wife too. She's more of a Sims player, so she would do like a FaceTime. And this was all before, you know, pre-COVID, so we had lots of practice when COVID happened. So in 2018, we ended up moving to Vandenberg, California. It's about an hour north of Santa Barbara. And, you know, we enjoyed the gaming culture and everything, and we saw that there was a lot of random events happening in LA, San Francisco, like TwitchCon, EA Play, E3, that type of stuff. And we wanted to just kind of check it out, see, you know, what it's like with other people in person, and really enjoyed it. And I ran into the Army esports team at TwitchCon and thought it was really cool that they had created, you know, their own team. They're going to these big events. And I looked into it and I was like, hey, you know, does the Air Force have anything like this? So after some digging and research and asking around, there wasn't anything out there in the gaming esports world with the Air Force. So with my background in understanding, you know, the benefits of mental health it had for me and the community building, the digital community building, myself and a couple other airmen at the time in 2019, I did a shot in the dark email to a 2-star general.
What's that like to be like, okay, like I'm going to try to start this new division and I'm sending an email out to a 2-star general. I don't know how they're going to perceive it. I don't know if they like gaming, right? Because I think there's the stigmas around that and we can talk through that as well. But what's it like? What's the head game that you're playing in that moment of like, do I send this email? What do I say? Like,
how many drafts?
Yeah. Are you stressing over what you're saying?
So while writing the email to General Levitt, definitely, you know, I was like, what am I doing? You know, this is, she wasn't in my chain of command. She was some random, you know, 2-star general. And it's not a thing that people do in the military. Like, you just don't go email a random general as being a captain. So, you know, I'm a O3, as an officer, and she's a 08. So, you know, there's a big difference there. And when I was researching, I come to find out, you know, she was one of the people to help Brie Larson with Captain Marvel movies. So that added a little extra pressure too. You know, like, dang, she's intense. So I probably had 3 different drafts of it. Took, you know, definitely some time to figure it out, and then had my wife read over it a few times, had some a couple other friends in the military that weren't involved read over it, and I just ended up being like, okay, I'm wasting my time trying to figure this out. I'm just gonna send it. You know, she's probably not even gonna respond. You know, she's way too busy, she's a general. And actually within 13 minutes she responded back with her entire staff, another general and some high leveled civilian, government civilians. And she was like, hey, this is a great idea. Would love to learn more about esports and gaming. Let's get you with my innovation team and see what we can, you know, where we can go with this.
And just real quick, Oliver, you know, just a brief summation. What was the body of that? What was the emphasis that you were really trying to get across when you think about just performance in general? And we have these moments where we deem them as just having one shot or one opportunity to really get our point across or to be heard. What was the real meat on the bone that you sent this two-star general?
I know one of the easiest emotions you can play on with senior military leaders is we don't want to be behind another branch. So, you know, a lot of it was, hey, look, the Army's doing it. If they're doing it and they're successful, the Air Force could do it and do it better. And if we don't jump on and get on this gaming thing, then we'll quickly be left behind and, you know, our service could become more irrelevant.
So you're creating this sense of urgency of these other people. We don't want to be left behind, right? Let's view not just now, but in the future too, of how these other industries and other organizations, especially the branches of the military, right, not wanting to be falling behind, but behind them as well. It's a really interesting tactic, right? But how did that have that play out for you?
Yes, she, you know, definitely identified, yeah, you know, we're behind the Army when it comes to recruiting and retention. So, you know, let's give it a whirl. Luckily, you know, her personality is one of those that's like, hey, let's give it a try. Why not? You know, no sweat off my back. If it works, if it doesn't, you know, at least I allowed somebody that has this creative idea to give it a try. So now looking back, as that was over 3 years ago, I sent that email. You know, if it wasn't for her and having, you know, taking that chance on me as this random person, I guess random bold captain, then, you know, none of the things that we're able to do with Air Force Gaming and now Space Force Gaming would have ever happened.
What was the pressure that you felt, Oliver? Just, you know, again, being in the military, you know, taking the initiative, getting Air Force Gaming starting, just share with us your rise, if you will, your journey, and some of the typical pressures that as a leader, as a founder, as the first person to be all in with this concept of gaming in the Air Force. What was that like?
As things started to progress and, you know, the actual like building of this thing past a idea and past a pitch definitely added a lot more pressure. I began doing this all in my free time. I was still a nuclear launch officer out at Vandenberg, where I was teaching brand new second lieutenants how to pretty much be adults and learn the job. So in my free time, the basically 40 to 90 hours a week outside of my already 40 to 60 hour job, I was doing this side hustle, building this up, you know, figuring out, experimenting, networking with people on LinkedIn, figuring out what LinkedIn was, and just testing the waters in a very fast but conservative way, just so, you know, we didn't make any mistakes that could make the Air Force itself look bad. So a lot of the pressure day to day, honestly, this is not typical of most. I mean, I would say this is with any job. You know, some leaders, you're going to have great leaders, or sometimes you're going to have great leaders. Sometimes you're going to have not so great leaders. At my unit where I was doing the nuke ops job, they didn't like that I was doing this. So they would constantly criticize that I was doing this, and I was talking to people outside of our chain of command, And, you know, my colonel leader, you know, would just put things in my way that would it really hurt my mental health and, you know, made me second guess everything. But it also made me push through and be like, you know what, I'm going to prove you wrong and I'm going to push this thing through. You know, you're not going to be able to put these roadblocks in my way for something that I truly believe, you know, can change people's lives.
Yeah, you're talking about this mentality of perseverance, right? To kind of push through those obstacles and those barriers. What was it about maybe your mission or the goal or maybe your experience with gaming and how that's helped you socialize? What was it that really was the driver for that? Like, what, you know, you see these people who are in authority positions and now you're trying to kind of push back a little bit and even kind of continue to move forward with it. So what's going through your mind? How are you thinking about it? It's kind of, you talked about it, how it's kind of pounding your mental health a little bit, but yet you're still kind of pressing on. So how do you balance that out? Because I find a lot of times when people are dealing with mental health challenges that sometimes that can set them back. It doesn't, they're not able to always push through those. So what are people, what had allowed you to continue to push on?
Yeah. So how I was able to kind of push through those challenges was I think my mental struggles and, you know, my anxiety and depression kind of, I was able to harness it, even though it still hurt, you know, like it made life tough, but it also was something that I was able to put a lot of my focus that I was struggling with my day job into, okay, well, I am doing something good that has a bigger impact on more people. I'm, you know, digitally leading. And at this time, we were close to like 5,000 airmen and guardians in our community. You know, I'm leading more people than these people that are telling me no or pushing me away. And, you know, I'm having people come to me saying, hey, you know, if it wasn't for Air Force Gaming, I wouldn't be here today. So it was stories like that that helped push me forward when, you know, leadership was trying to drag me down. And the best thing that I learned when people were telling me no, 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 was just to find a different person that would tell me yes. So if my immediate boss would say, no, that's stupid, you're wasting your time, then I'd be like, okay, cool. Well, now I don't trust anything that you're going to really advise me on anything else, because I had this other two-star general say that this was awesome. So, you know, I'll go find somebody else that can, you know, support something like this.
What you're talking about, Oliver, is, you know, shifting your point of view and your perspective. It's, you use the word harness. Talk to me a little bit more about that, just with, again, the challenges, and you're using words like anxiety and depression, different emotional features when we all try to really stretch ourselves, especially in the entrepreneurial market, really trying to make something out of nothing. You have to be incredibly resilient. There's a ton of failure. You see more and more people talking about strategies, techniques, tips. Share with us some of yours to stay mentally fit, to stay sharp, but really to persevere.
Yeah, so growing up, I've always kind of had a entrepreneurial spirit, and I like to challenge change, or, you know, challenge things to change for the better. And for example, when I was at Minot, I, with my local church, I helped create like community groups and different small group type of things that they hadn't had before. I created we called it the MC. It wasn't a motorcycle club, it was a missile club. So, you know, nice and nerdy, but it was a way to create like a exclusive organization that folks could feel better about the job, because doing the intercontinental ballistic missile job can be kind of a drag, and it's a lot of hard work, a lot of knowledge you have to learn, and a lot of stress that, you know, isn't necessarily quite needed, but it's there. It's just part of the job. So created an outlet, you know, for that. In 2018, I started my own brand as Ollie Poppin' It. A friend in college, when I was doing the early Call of Duty and like Halo 3, we would also create rap songs, and he would call me Ollie Poppin' It because my beats were never stopping it. So that's kind of where
that was nice. Can you do that again?
I used to have
you got some talent, Oliver.
Oh,
well, you're creating a lot of outlets for yourself too. And I think that's critical. And again, you're going through something that brings emotion and challenge, but also just is a challenging position to be in, and you're identifying outlets to support yourself throughout it. You know, we regularly talk about mental fatigue, and that's the number one performance inhibitor, right? It's once you get mentally fatigued, everything is perceived to be harder. So when you're dealing with something that normally you can do in a routine, but you're just tired, you're down, you're unmotivated in a particular moment, that thing seems like a mountain, even though you're maybe fully capable of doing it. And so you're talking about these kind of outlets to support yourself. You know, I wonder, you know, you see this gap in the Air Force in a particular moment of like a lack of that maybe outlet or the support systems, you know, is that really what you were thinking it was going to fill? Like, did it come to what you thought it was going to be, or did it kind of take a life of its own? Like, how did that Air Force gaming, Space Force gaming, right? / Space Force gaming, right? I love the Airmen / Guardians, you know, how'd that come to be? But also ultimately, did it become what you thought it was going to be? And is it serving that role of kind of supporting people throughout that process?
Yes. So ironically, the original idea was, hey, this is a great recruiting tool. And within the, you know, I pitched it in July of 2019. By December of 2019, we kind of realized that, hey, this isn't something that we overtly use to recruit, you know, people for the Air Force. You know, we saw the tangible benefits of what it is with, you know, creating a digital community centered around, you know, gaming culture and the love of gaming. You know, whether it was, no way in my mind did I think that, you know, I knew a lot of people played World of Warcraft, and you know, those people would end up finding their way. You know, a lot of people play first person shooters, but the one community that I had no idea would be, it's like our second biggest community is Dungeons and Dragons. So people will hop on Discord video calls and, you know, do the whole Discord or the whole Dungeons and Dragons role playing and creating worlds and that type of creativity. So that's been really, really cool to see, that I didn't expect. I also, every step of the way, I wanted my original team that I started this with to be part of the team that officially ran it. And roadblock after roadblock was, hey, you know, creating a personnel manning position for even just a handful of people is really tough in a giant bureaucracy. The reason I was able to fall into it was, you know, perfect timing, a huge, you know, overall blessing. And I ended up getting medically disqualified from the nuclear position due to mental health and the medication that I was taking that, you know, was helping me. So that, you know, added a little extra stress at that time because I potentially was going to get kicked out. But luckily, the folks I was working with at the Morale Wellness Recreation Unit for all of the stuff we were building in early 2020, they were able to find a way to switch my career field and get me moved out to San Antonio. So definitely wasn't expecting that. And then when I finally got to San Antonio, mid-COVID, you know, driving through LA, it was like a zombie apocalypse. And getting to San Antonio, I thought I was going to be stepping into, hey, you know, everyone supports Air Force Gaming. Everyone's going to like keep pushing this forward because everyone I was talking to at this unit I was going to, you know, supported it. And come to find out, I had to even fight to keep the branding of Air Force Gaming. They're like, oh no, you know, we'll just create something different. But it took a lot of persuasion and a lot of persistence to really make sure that the Air Force Gaming brand, as well as our community that we had 5,000 at that time, you know, make sure it didn't disintegrate with it becoming an official program.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We regularly talk about chaos. We kind of love chaos, but you know, it's something that is natural. It's unavoidable. And that's why we love it, because it's about how you learn to navigate it when it does show itself. And we talk about it, its primary role is to disrupt your mental scripts, right? It's to distract you from the task at hand, right? Either internally or externally, and then disrupt your script. And that mental script is, this is how things should go, right? So there's a script of, oh, I should go to this next base. I already got 5,000 people. They're going to love it. And I'm going to embrace it. And then this chaotic element hits. And now you're dealing with this shift in perspective of moments of, how do I make this work? And I think that is an interesting head game that you have to play in that moment of, this isn't what I expected. And now I have to, maybe did you have to change your strategy? Or, you know, what was it like hit by that wall of maybe a little bit of resistance, more so expecting more that accept?
Yeah. No, with that chaos that they presented me, I like chaos also. So I decided to flip the script, or turn the tables. And I like to say I created a calculative chaos. So I would, no one knew what gaming was. No one understood gaming there. They just knew they didn't like it. They knew they didn't like
change.
It's
amazing how many people know something before they even know it.
Yep.
Right, before they even try it. I know it. Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay, exactly.
We have it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and consistently they're like, yeah, this e-gaming thing is just like a waste of money. It's a waste of our time. Like, no one's going to use it. And, you know, as soon as we officially launched, we had all these numbers. We went from 5,000 when we were unofficial grassroots to, as soon as we officially launched, within a month, we were over 12,000. So, you know, a lot of the people were coming to me and complaining about what we were doing. We were taking away resources from like the art contests, where they had a good, you know, maybe 50 to 60 participants in the entire 500,000 Air Force with dependents. Whereas we were having, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 participants in just like a weekend tournament. And, you know, what I would like to say too is like, hey, you know, I may be a captain, but I'm leading more than some of these base commanders. Or, you know, hey, here's one of our volunteers. He's a E3 or an E4. He's a senior airman. He is an aircraft maintenance person, you know, crew chief on the F-22. Doesn't lead anyone. And this, you know, this guy, he grew a community of our shooter category from, you know, about 15 to now it's at like 16,000, but, you know, over the last like year and a half. So it's like, hey, you know, the way of thinking in today's day and age isn't about formal leadership. It's about, you know, the informal leadership, how you take care of people, you know, and the just really, you know, like I mentioned, using that calculative chaos to really force people to get uncomfortable. And then once they were uncomfortable, I could really see their true colors, because either they're going to be very reactive and hate everything we're doing, or they were going to, you know, it was going to make them think, and then they were going to be a true believer.
Oliver, so much of your story is really inspiring because of, one, you're very open and you're very sincere about some of your own mental health hurdles throughout your own process, and you own that very eloquently, which I think is a testament to you. And the irony of that for me, though, is that the benefits of what you've created also assist with reducing stress, with connecting people, persons to persons, with the adjustment of new environments. These are all those intangible factors. But yet, when we try to engage in change, it's not if but when we become uncomfortable. And very often, people will steer wide and clear of change because of the discomfort that presents itself. And then things like anxiety and depression, or stress and sadness, elevate to anxiety and depression. Talk to me a little bit about what you do throughout the course of your day job, more so from Air Force Gaming to what you're doing now. I'd like to spend some time kind of transitioning to you into more, because I know that you're no longer doing that. I think it's a very important part of your chapter to kind of fully discuss. But when we talk about transition, talk to us a little bit about some of the personal resources that you pull upon to stay mentally fit.
Yeah. Personally, I'm not the biggest, book reader. I know there's a lot of benefits to, reading multiple books during a year. I have a little bit of dyslexia, so, reading a page sometimes will take 10 minutes. If I get lost in my train of thought. I do a lot of Audible listening, and I really enjoy that. And I have ADHD, so I have to be doing something else while listening, whether it's driving or doing chores around the house or mowing the lawn. So, Audible, but also podcasts. I really enjoy listening to leadership podcasts, overall kind of like self-help, ways that I can take a little bit from each one. I used to be very like, I need to understand this entire book, or I need to listen to this and engage in this entire podcast. But, there's no way your brain can store all that information. And I was putting like too much pressure on myself. So I felt better, doing more frequently, as long as I was like, hey, I just want to get like one awesome nugget out of this. And so I have that. My wife and I, we watch church online each week on Sunday, and that definitely helps us get, spiritually refocused. And the spiritual well-being, the mental well-being of challenging myself, the physical working out. I haven't been as good as I once was, but getting back into that, nutritional, all of those outlets, when I'm consistent, it's
trying really, to pull really from a myriad of perspectives and arenas. At Mindful Athlete Training, we're very holistically driven in our approach, and we emphasize the concepts of mental fitness, which is really about the total available mental capacity that we need to meet the demands of any given task, really. And in our efforts to communicate some of those sentiments, we always like to talk to the high performers on the head game about what those journeys look like. And because I think everyone has different strategies and techniques that are more comfortable, you know, different divisions of their life, if you will, mental, spiritual, physical. But very often, as we all know, when stress comes into our world, you know, we call that a disruption. It's really a disruption of stasis, of our inner balance. And when human beings get disrupted, they tend to gravitate back to old habits that are overlearned, that very often are not in our best interests or healthy for that matter. So for all of those high performers that are listening, just talk to us a little bit more about what you're doing now, how you found your way there, and some of the life lessons that perhaps you've learned from Air Force Gaming that you're now putting into your next chapter.
You kind of mentioned this earlier, but I was starting to get comfortable with how things went with how things were going with Air Force Gaming, and it was very challenging the first year with, you know, obviously doing the grassroots from nothing. Then the second year in 2020, when we launched the program officially, you know, then it was battling the bureaucracy, battling like the broken marketing and public affairs, public relations issues that the military has with internal communication of just like cool programs. So, you know, we had to reinvent how people at the lowest level found Air Force Gaming and found new programs. So, you know, we would do a lot of like guerrilla boots on the ground marketing, or, you know, we'd focus more on like our social media posts, forcing the bases to just follow us or reshare us to keep our focus there. Because previously it was like, hey, everyone print out this flyer and put it in your gym. And no one really looks at flyers at gyms, especially when there's a whole wall of them. So, you know, that was a challenge. Those were big challenges then. And then in 2021 to 2022, my biggest challenge was, and like something that weighed a lot on my mind and my heart, was how can I make this sustainable where it's not personality driven, where I'm able to exit, where I'm able to move on to something else? Because if I leave and this whole program was just based on my leadership, then I failed. So that was the hardest thing over the probably of the course of my life, was finding a sustainable model, experimenting with things, and being able to let go. And let go of, you know, my baby, and let it go, you know, move responsibility away from myself, allow things to change in a direction that maybe I didn't quite agree with, but it was still moving forward, and realize that once I step back, that those relationships that I built for Air Force Gaming may not be there anymore with new people coming in, but at least ensuring that when I did move on, those relationships didn't get burned if, you know, things changed with me moving on and, you know, people completely dismissing what Air Force Gaming is about. So that was challenging. And through all that, what I learned was like, if I'm comfortable, I'm not growing. So I've kind of learned to embrace being uncomfortable. When I do get comfortable, I get bored, you know, I get more depressed. So I was initially planning on transferring to the Space Force and trying to build out Space Force Gaming officially on the Space Force side. I had begun advising Space Force leadership on the metaverse, and they created the Spaceverse. So I was going to help build out a metaverse, you know, for the Department of Defense. But, and this was all in the last like few months, but come to find out, there was a high likelihood I was going to deploy I found out my wife was pregnant, and there was going to be a 4-year time commitment with up to a year before I'd transfer. So it would put me 5 years in the future. And with the military, you're not always able to choose your job. So after building the metaverse for a couple of years, would I get put in a job that, you know, I may not like, or in a location that could be harmful to my family? Not harmful, but, you know, not where we want to be. So made the tough decision of, hey, I should just get out and separate from active duty or full-time military. I'm going to be going reserves, where I'll still be a Air Force reservist. I'll be a major, and I'll still be assisting with the gaming and esports type of world, just in a very part-time capacity. And fortunately, I had developed some great relationships with the folks at Activision Blizzard, and specifically the Call of Duty Endowment, and, you know, another case of right place, right time, you know, stars aligning, being very blessed. I was able to get a fellowship position with the Call of Duty Endowment, where I'm a marketing fellow, and I'm working on all different sorts of products, projects, content for the endowment. And my capstone basically is going to be the Code Bowl. So on December 16th in Raleigh, North Carolina, we're going to have 9 military branches battle it out in Call of Duty. So it's going to be all 6 US branches and then 3 UK branches. So very excited. Nice little history, you know, being made.
That's awesome. I'm going to put you on the spot. Who do you think is going to win?
Well, so...
do you have a team? Do you have an affiliation?
Are
you
Previously, I would have said Army. You know, Army had the history. You know, they started in 2018. We unofficially, you know, we really started in early 2020. So they had 2 years on us. It wasn't until an event that, you know, also going back to forcing myself to create uncomfortable situations and create something new. In over Memorial Day weekend, we created a event we called ForceCon. It was at that event we had the first ever armed officially sanctioned esports sporting event in Halo Infinite. So, you know, previously the Supreme Court has classified esports as entertainment, but we were able to get a federal governing body within the Department of Defense to recognize our event as a sports event. So that was really cool. But building that out was kind of how I envisioned my capstone within Air Force Gaming, because we had all 6 U.S. branches there. We had online competition that led to a in-person finals. And then those in-person finals, we took the top 2 teams. Those top 2 teams then went through a combine trial camp. And we whittled it down from 8 to 10 players to 4 players with professional coaches from teams like Optic, Cloud9, G1, those types. And they then had a training camp that led right into the official event, which happened on the Saturday Memorial Day weekend. And yeah, we had amazing turnout. It was really, really cool to see. Industry loved it. But I'm ready to take what I did with ForceCon and help the Call of Duty Endowment make things even better with Code Bowl. But with your question of who you think, you know, that was very long-winded, but who do you think will win? Well, so in 2022, all Armed Forces type esports events, the Air Force has won. You know, I believe the model, and myself and my team were able to create is a successful one of basically doing the online qualifying multi-week league, going into the online qualifiers, then a finals in person, then the combine trial camp. That model has been successful because we did that for the last two events, and Air Force has won both. So betting that Air Force, you know, is going to give the other teams a run for the money. Yeah, well, I'll also say Army this last year has always come in a close second. Previously, it was, you know, Army just dominating everyone. I think the Royal Air Force, they were really, really good. They're going to be up there, if not, you know, win the whole thing too.
Did you say the Royal Air Force?
Yeah, from the UK.
So this is an international.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And in the last Code Bowl, which happened in 2020, the Space Force won. So I don't have the faith I did with the Space Force back in 2020. But who knows? You know, they're underdogs. I'll still be rooting for them, but I don't think they're going to take home the
Oliver, I heard you mention earlier something about having a baby. Congratulations to that. You're about to delve into a new world of chaos, Oliver. I'll send you the VIP membership card. It's in the mail. When you figure out, you know, different perspectives, especially becoming a parent, that balancing act, again, we've talked a couple of times about the code of work ethic associated with being an entrepreneur, you know, getting kicked literally, figuratively, when people say no. I love your response of when you just got one no from one direction, you just pivoted, which is a great term mentally and emotionally for people, to use that energy and then just continue your search, your pursuits. Talk to us a little bit as we wrap up where you see yourself going, you know, what you'd like to, you're young, you've had a lot of experience at a young age. You're now out of the military. Where do you see yourself going, becoming a father? Talk to us a little bit about, you know, the Oliver years from now.
Yeah. So, you know, looking to the future, I my biggest goal is to make sure that I'm balancing my life correctly. I tend to have a very obsessive personality, you know, obviously with being persistent enough, sometimes I fall into the far corner of being obsessed with something. So, you know, I want to make sure that I'm balancing and making sure I'm putting my family ahead of work and some of my career aspirations, you know, because at the end of life, the things I did, you know, aren't going to be there. It's going to be the people I impacted and my family. I would say, you know, I don't know where I'll be going. You know, I can hope, you know, I have a job with Activision at the end of this fellowship. But I would say, you know, over the years, my biggest goal would be to just be able to continue to impact people, continue to impact positive change, and to really, in a way, find a way to help the U.S. and global, you know, the different governments, you know, understand the positivity and benefits of gaming and how, you know, my story with Air Force Gaming, but also in the stories within Air Force Gaming of, you know, saving people's lives, you know, people deciding not to commit suicide, where those benefits can be transferred, you know, to the French Air Force, you know, the Australian Army, you know, and being able to, on a global scale, showcase that gaming is a positive thing out there.
What I also admire about it too, it's this, it can be something that becomes proactive, and that's, we're all about proactivity, right? What we're all about is mental fitness, and fitness, right, is something that you're preventing injury, right? You're building strength and resiliency, endurance, so that when you're facing those challenges, you have that ability, you can trust in that ability, and you feel more confident when you're facing it. I think a lot of times, especially in the mental health world or support systems, right, that is lacking. It tends to be, well, after something happens, then I'll go get that support, right? It becomes a little bit more of that reactive. This seems like it could be a very proactive tool for any organization as well, but especially in the military level of like, hey, this is something that people can go to. There's an automatic support system that people can connect with and engage with, and clearly there's an audience for that. So I really think the proactivity of that engagement is critical. I definitely agree.
Oliver, we would like to sort of celebrate just you in anything professionally that you're presently working on. What's the best way that our listening audience can contract Oliver Parsons down? You mentioned something about LinkedIn. Any special projects that are coming up that we haven't already discussed?
Yeah, no, I really do appreciate that. Yeah, my LinkedIn, Oliver Parsons, or it, the URL is / Ollie Poppinit. I had to keep that branding. Or Twitter, at Ollie Poppinit. Or on email, oliver@parsons.live. But yes, some of the cool projects, you know, will be showcased here in the next few weeks with the launch of Modern Warfare 2 and some of the work I'm doing with the Call of Duty Endowment. Some really, really exciting and some really innovative content pieces and events are going to be coming out that I'm extremely excited for that hasn't.
Yeah, well, I'm personally excited just to, you know, you and I and Hunter, we've spoke a ways back and we talked about, you know, with all of our busy lives of how time flies, but I'm personally excited for you. You know, change is good. That transition that stimulates growth, not if, but when it comes, is a choice that most people, you know, when you choose to grab with both hands tight, really take more control over their lives and where you're headed. And it seems like you're doing just that. So congratulations to you again. Air Force Gaming and what you've created, as well as what you have on the horizon. And we're excited at Mindful Athlete Training to continue the relationship with you, Oliver, and continue to support any Definitely. Endeavors that you have that you think are relevant for where mental fitness can, you know, make your concepts that much stronger. So thank you for your time. Thanks for your attention. And I know you're a busy man. And again, congratulations on fatherhood. Enjoy your free time when you still have it.
I know.
And, thanks again so much for your time. Yeah.
Good luck with everything.
Yeah, thank you guys. I really appreciate it.
All right. Oliver Parsons. Thanks a lot.